This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, July 3rd, 2015. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, Greek unions want a national referendum on debt repayment cancelled. Unions in developing countries are being asked to help move workers from informal jobs to formal employment. The Australian Electrical Union is objecting to a China-Australia agreement. And our Labour Star correspondent has news about union events around the world. This is Radio Labour. In Greece this weekend, a referendum is scheduled to decide if the country should continue to pay international creditors. The Greek labour movement wants the referendum cancelled. Radio Labour's senior correspondent, Seemarie Ainsborough, has a report.
The Central Labour Federation in Greece has called for the cancellation of a national referendum on debt repayment plans. The government has allowed the country to default on its payments to international bankers. It has called for Greeks to vote on the issue of debt repayment in a referendum scheduled for Sunday, July 5th. The government is urging voters to say no to the demands of the bankers. A no vote could result in Greece leaving the Eurozone and, potentially, the European Union. The Greek General Confederation of Labour is calling for the referendum to be cancelled because of the surprise announcement of the referendum, saying that it does not allow enough time for people to understand the implications of a no vote. It says the referendum is needlessly dividing the Greek people. The Confederation told the media that it wants Greece to stay in the Eurozone and the European Union. This is Seemarie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labour.
One of the reasons the international labour movement is objecting to the huge trade deals being negotiated around the world is that the deal-making is being done in secret and often includes side deals which have never been publicly debated. As an example, the Australian labour movement has learned about a side deal in the Australia-China trade agreement. The arrangement will allow Chinese electricians into Australia on temporary work visas without being properly assessed. Alan Hicks is the National Secretary of Australia's Electrical Trades Union.
Australia leads the way in electrical safety. We've got some of the best electrical workers in the world. A lot of countries aspire to have the same levels of safety standards that we do. We've got a licensed system right across the country. No matter which state or territory you work in, you've got to be licensed to carry out the work. And those sorts of systems aren't in place in other countries like China. And China has a woeful workplace health and safety record. They have over 70,000 deaths a year, workplace deaths a year. So we are genuinely concerned. It's not about the workers themselves, but it's the fact that the federal government doesn't recognise the need to have mandatory skills assessment of these workers before they allow them to come into this country to work under visa arrangements. For the federal government to come out and waive that under a free trade agreement without any consultation with union employers is an absolute disgrace. And like I said, it's going to create significant workplace dangers. I think they've misjudged the Australian public on this one, and I think that by trying to hide this in a side letter, it's going to come back to bite them on the arse.
Unions in developing countries are welcoming a new standard set by the International Labour Organization about informal work. The informal economy is a large part of all developing countries. It includes workers who are self-employed, such as street sellers, who are not part of the country's labor protection laws. It often results in miserable poverty. The ILO is the UN agency focused on matters of work in the world. In its annual conference last month, it adopted a new standard which calls on governments to help move people from the informal to the formal economy. Raghwan Raghwan is a senior specialist in the ILO's Workers' Activities Program, which operates under its French acronym ACTRAV. He was asked how unions can take advantage of the new ILO recommendation about moving workers from the informal to the formal economy, where they can have better conditions and protections.
There is a lot of opportunities. I think it has been a long time in it being adopted, a long time in it taking this kind of shape. The ILO recommendation provides that international basis for the workers, employers and the government. Now for workers it is much more important because the opportunity is now given for them to be able to use this instrument to push the governments to provide for that kind of laws and regulations, to push the employers, because they were party to this recommendation to recognize what is needed for the workers and for the informal to formalization. And of course for the unions, one of the first things they need to do is look at the recommendation, understand the recommendation, and then use it to promote, bring about changes. But also importantly, they should themselves then start using it to organize, because organization of workers is a way of formalization of workers who are in the informal economy.
One of the efforts of the European Union to encourage democratic participation in its 28 member states is a petition process which can force legislators to consider important issues. The process is called the European Citizens Initiative. The first use of the initiative was organized by a coalition of unions, NGOs, and other civil society groups led by the European Federation of Public Service Unions. EPSU is a federation of 210 labor unions which represent more than 8 million European workers. It led a citizens' initiative to protect access to safe, affordable water and sanitation services. Just recently, it won an important victory when members of the Environment Committee of the European Parliament voted to support the initiative. I talked to young William Houdian. Mr. Houdian is EPSU's General Secretary. I asked him to describe the European Citizens Initiative.
With the European Citizen Initiative, citizens can collect 1 million signatures with a minimum threshold to be reached in at least 7 countries, and they can put issues they deem important on the European agenda.
Now, here with his report about union events around the world is Labour Star correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the more than 2,100 stories that our volunteers collected since our last report. Last week, our top stories section included links to news about the dangers faced by human rights defenders in Colombia, the solidarity shown the Greek people by unions around the world, and the creation of the first private sector union in Samoa. We also had coverage of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are some highlights. Scottish ferry workers struck over privatization plans for the service they provide, as did Lisbon metro workers and electricity workers in Cyprus. Judiciary workers in Nigeria and train drivers in Germany ended their disputes with victories. Ukrainian education workers held short national strikes to demand a social dialogue with employers and the government. American airport workers walked for a day to protest their working conditions. Chilean miners struck in a wage dispute. Georgian public transport workers struck to protest the privatization of their service. Fishers in Thailand stopped work to protest more restrictive regulations on their industry. Chilean university professors have been off the job since the beginning of June to protest the restructuring of that country's education system. And in Bangladesh, bus company workers shut down their operations to demand the punishment of the leaders of the unions that struck them last week. Our top working women's stories included coverage of the new law providing basic labor rights for domestic workers in Kuwait, the arrest of 9 garment union activists in Cambodia, and the rapid growth in the number of women sex workers in Greece as austerity eliminates their jobs and social supports. Our health and safety newswire carried stories about advice on how to dress for work in the British heatwave, the conditions causing the deaths of almost 1 million workers employed in extractive industries in Nigeria each year, and charges that airlines in the USA are cutting costs by reducing safety. This week, Labour Start is running 5 online actions. All these campaigns are requested by and sponsored by unions around the world. Join us in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labour Start, reporting for Radio Labour.
And that's it. International labour news you can use. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.